We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Joel Gadet, the athletic director, Beth Goetz, joins us now. You've got to follow the footsteps of President Mearns, so my apologies there.
Those are shoes that are way too big for me to fill, but pleasure to come behind them and to be with you here again in person. So
yeah, it's good to just be doing something in person anywhere. Like I'm just outside. It's wonderful.
Yes, I think we've all realized how much we enjoy the human interaction and certainly the opportunity to be around these Ball State fans and supporters.
What are you doing? How are you keeping busy?
Well, you know,
just in general, like not an athletic question. Just
well, you know, it's been interesting. You would think without the events that you would really have a lot more time on your hands, but it really has been with the creation of many different opportunities for whether it's competition or financial planning or medical plans for how you're going to return to campus. I mean, it really has been a pretty busy few months. I can say my mileage, my weekly mileage has picked up a little bit, so I've had an opportunity to put some steps in my shoes with my jogging routine. But other than that, just dialed in, and we're all working as hard as we can so that we are ready the moment that opportunity presents itself again.
We talked about plans with the president, and he talked about one day where it was a Saturday where plans went out the window three times. What's been the hardest part about all of this, I guess, for you? Is there one aspect of it that's been new or unexpected or you've had to learn the most about to try to make things work?
Yeah, you know, we've learned a lot, certainly on the medical side of things, and so grateful so many people give so much time to help us put that into the context that's going to make it useful for our student-athletes. But when you talk about what's difficult, I think it's really the unknown, and not so much, I think, for me, but the inability to give student-athletes and coaches a roadmap. So whatever challenge, no matter how big, I think we are all wired as athletes to say, hey, look, this is what we've got to overcome. We're short on shooting from the outside or whatever it might be. We can create a game plan around that. But with the nimbleness of that, I think it's been difficult. And you want to give everybody something they can rally around and look towards. And so it's been a different mentality that we've had to lead with, which is, hey, we're going to have to be comfortable in this unknown space, for a little longer.
We talked about the restart of fall sports or the start of fall sports across the country with the president just now. What's it been like for you as an athletic director sitting at home watching the last couple of weekends as college football has been played? What are the thoughts that have run through your mind?
Yeah, it's... We all, I think, realize how much we miss watching live sporting events. And so from that standpoint, you're energized to get to see people do what they love to do. And whether that's on the pro ranks or certainly a few of the college football games we've seen over the past couple weekends. But, it's also difficult because it's hard to watch that without knowing the disappointment that our student athletes feel currently. And we can be, resolute and comfortable in the decisions we made, which we are. And focused on planning forward. But, I texted a good friend of the program the first Saturday of football and said, hey, waking up this morning is really difficult because in a few hours I'd be seeing them.
It's interesting how things have played out as well because it hasn't been without hiccups, but that's also been part of the plan for those schools that have played. But kind of what's your take on, there's 11 games that have been postponed at this point. Georgia Southern played without 33 players. Arkansas State played without 9 and beat a Big 12 school. What's your take on how everything has unfolded in that regard?
Yeah, it's in some ways, it's actually hard to put yourself in a different position. And I think the president alluded to this, that everyone made the decision that made sense for their institution and their conference based on our own set of circumstances. So there's the moment when you think, hey, you wish you would have been the team that was beating that Big 12 opponent. But then you also think, hey, that's a lot to navigate. And is that experience the type of experience we wanted to provide our student athletes? And do we feel comfortable about that? So it's definitely interesting and talk about a level of preparation that is going to be required of coaches in those circumstances now and possibly even in the spring.
Athletic Director Beth Goetz joins us Monday night with the Red and White, brought to us by McAllister's Deli. The positioning of Ball State sports going forward now because of this. Obviously, there's fallout of it. The fun part is spring sports extravaganza, where pick a day, there's a game. But I'm sure there is not a downside to all of this, but a downside to all of this. How do you minimize the difficulty that is caused by a postponement in fall sports?
Yeah, I think at least this is the way our staff operates, and Jules, we want to be as transparent as we can with everybody that's involved with our program. And so we sort of outline as we get information, outline what that looks like. And I think when you have a really clear understanding of what your goals and your values are and what we want to do to support our student athletes, we can take the rest in stride. And that doesn't mean it's not without pain or without challenge. But when you know what the end product is going to be, if we all chip in, if we all just work together even more so than we normally do, I think we all get to feel pretty good about that.
Ball State's in a pretty good position, too, isn't it? Things have set up nicely that the university has taken care to not weather the storm, but weather the storm. If disaster hits, the university's done a good job of saying, we've put ourselves in a good spot.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we are, particularly proud of is the way that Ball State has approached this. And it really goes to their long-term vision and really making sure that they were planning appropriately. We know who we are. We want to be great at who we are. But we weren't in a position where you couldn't deal with something like this. And so our pain is no different than maybe some others within our league, but ours is going to be short-term. And so we do. We've got to address it. We got to take it head on, particularly from a financial perspective. But we feel like we'll be positioned to rebound be back where we were once athletic revenue returns.
The not fun part of all of this is that sports have not happened in the fall. As I said, the fun part is spring sports extravaganza. for you, what do you know? And when do you know it? Not necessarily when have you learned it, but like, I imagine for you as an athletic director, you've got to be sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And when are we going to get some dates? And when do we get our hands around things? What's that whole process like?
Yeah, you know, well, I think the NCAA governance process, and I have fortunate enough to represent the MAC on a few of those committees, and as well as what the MAC has put together, is really pretty collaborative. And so you've got input from student athletes, from coaches, from administrators. And so as we're talking those through, you start to have an idea of what that shape may look like. Again, assuming that the other components in and around the pandemic that we need to improve do. So you start to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And so even though final decisions may not be made at that moment, you do have an idea of, hey, here are the range of decisions, and this is what it might look like. And, you know, I like your phrasing there about the spring extravaganza. We were teasing in the office the other day. We may have to put all our contests in a hat, and every staff member can pick one to lead. That's how many we'll have going on at a time. But it really is just going to be a lot of fun. And in all its uniqueness, I think everybody's going to be hungry and ready to embrace that.
I believe Ken Briner is available to referee basketball games.
Well, we actually had a conversation about how effective that was going to be if he was going to be muffled a little bit with the mask. So we may have to get him one that he can speak a little bit clearer.
Okay, we'll get him a microphone into the PA.
Right.
It'll be great.
That's
right. Or if there's a fan restriction, it's perfect because he's front and center. So.
Well, we've already talked about bringing him on staff and Peggy full time. So they'll be right there alongside of us.
What are their titles? Fan. That's it. It's paid. Yeah, it's huge. What do you tell coaches? Because people are asking you questions, and I have to imagine that you don't necessarily have all the answers right now. And how frustrating is that? How hard is that? And where do you find answers to then tell people so that you can provide some sort of certainty in all of this?
Yeah, you know, some great advice I got from a mentor of mine, and it's always a fine line, these relationships, and certainly with coaches, or at least a stereotypical coach, and I don't know that we have any of those, but, you know, it's always really important that you build strong professional and personal relationships, I think, with your coaching staff, and, you know, hopefully you do a good job of that, and in this moment, that becomes critically important, because you want to be able to share with them as candidly as you can what's going on, have the difficult conversations. You want them to know that you do empathize, and that you are working hard to help give them what they need to be successful. And that's really a critical component of it. So, you know, you want to be as reassuring as you can with as much information. And they, you know, they want to know that you're going to advocate for them and for their student athletes.
How have they dealt with it? What's the response been?
They have been incredibly, incredibly graceful in a situation that requires certainly much less than that. You know, they are wired to be going 100 miles an hour.
Especially now.
Yes, and to have ownership of their teams and their schedules and all of those things. And I just continue to be awed by their ability to take the situation and say, okay, let's go. Let's figure out what the best next thing is to do. And I think our fan base and everybody associated with Ball State should be nothing less than proud of the way our coaches have handled this, and certainly our student athletes as well. But they have represented Ball State with nothing but great character and class.
Couple scheduling questions for you as Beth Getz joins us, Ball State Athletic Director. It is Monday night with the Red and White here from McAllister. It's our first show of the 2020 season, 2020-2021 season. Football. Like, you guys schedule football like 10 years out normally. I'm pretty sure BYU just scheduled a game yesterday for Saturday. What have we learned about scheduling football, and maybe what changes going forward for you guys? Like, is it more fun this way?
Well, you know, there's probably a happy medium. You know, the next opening on our schedule is really, you know, out past 27, 28. And so maybe there's a place in the middle. I do think from a with football, just logistically, it's helpful to, sure. to be able to mobilize a little bit earlier. Moving 100 and so many people around isn't always that easy. But I do think it's been interesting. I think I saw a Twitter request the other day. Army was looking for a game.
Yes.
And so it's a dynamic that in this sport just does not typically exist. You know, it'd be interesting to see how long or how much impact that has long term.
Sure.
The elusiveness of it may wear off by the time anybody got to a place where you could start to think like that. But yeah, different timing for sure in scheduling.
What's basketball scheduling look like right now?
Yeah, so now they are the other extreme. Basketball, for the most part, if you're a year out or 2 years out, that's a long time in that sport. So, you know, I think right now, certainly for Ball State, it depends on what happens with the Division I Council vote tomorrow. And certainly they're projecting some start dates somewhere between the 21st and maybe the 25th of November. So I think we feel like our schedule's in a pretty good place. Depending on where that line falls, we may lose a game or two, and I think they may drop the maximum number of games by a few. We'll see how that plays out with the NCAA Division I Council. But
do you think there's still a sense of normalcy to that, though? Like, I mean, Ball State's schedule came out, so to speak. Jordan Guskey wrote a piece in the Star Press over the summer where game at Michigan and, you know, Evansville was on. Like, are those types of games still on the schedule, or is it a back to the drawing board COVID scheduling for people?
I think most of us are leaving those games on the schedule until information tells us otherwise. I think there's an overall awareness that things could change. And certainly you've got sort of the NCAA parameters, and now you're back to the leagues really having ownership of their conference schedules. And so, you know, there's you know, a lot of trickle-down effect as one conference makes a decision. So we'll have to see. But hopeful, you know, I know we think it's really important for our student-athletes' experience, and certainly for an overall resume, to have an opportunity to play non-conference games. So we hope that's how that plays out.
You're on the selection committee, speaking of resume, for the women. Hopefully you'll actually get to be on the selection committee this coming year. But league schedules have obviously changed across the board for a lot of leagues. Do you like 20 league games in a league like the Mid-American Conference?
Yeah, you know, I think we landed in a good place, and I think there's valid perspectives, even within a conference, about where that right spot is to land. And some of it has to do with geographics and the level of your program and who you feel like you have the capability to schedule. So for us at Ball State, we certainly wanted to maintain some of those non-conference opportunities. And as you know, we're just located in a region and have relationships that allows us to schedule some great opponents.
Right.
And we wanted the ability to continue to do that. But I think 20 games, given the broader context, was a good place for the league to land.
Be honest, did you at some point this summer make a faux bracket of what you wanted to do back in March?
Well, I'm not sure any of us would speak of that outside of maybe what we put on a napkin. But
I finally make the committee, and then there's no tournament. I'm going to make my own 64. Let's do
that. That's right. I'm going to have to see if this buys me another year on the committee. I don't think they announced that extension yet. But
I mean, it got the athletes another year of fall sports. So
that's true.
It's only fair.
That's true. Yeah. No, but it will be a lot of fun this year to have the opportunity to see that through. And I think selections are going to be challenging for many reasons.
Yeah.
But I think it's important work, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to be a part of that.
Thanks, Beth.
Thanks for having me.
Beth Getz, Ball State's athletic director. We'll take a timeout. Come on back with Mike New, the head football coach, on the other side of this. It's Monday Night with the Red and White on Muncie Sports Station from Learfield, IMG College.